Welcome to the Assembling Inclusion Podcast. On this show, we feature different programs, individuals, and initiatives focused on being more inclusive of individual needs. We invite you to learn right alongside us. If you want some additional resources or access to our courses, please visit our website or follow us on social media. But for right now, let's get right to the episode. Coming up next on the Assembly Inclusion Podcast.
And I think that the film festival kind of creates all of these great stories, tapping into that emotional self as participants watch, thinking to themselves, wow, that's the kind of world that I want to live in. Like, that was great. That's the kind of place that I want to be part of. That's what I would like to do. And I hope that it kind of sparks a little magic, a little joy for everyone, and kind of inspires them to make those small differences in their own lives that I think compounded will make a pretty dramatic impact.
Today on our show, I'm talking to Dr. Tara Mason, one of the co-founders of the Disability Film Festival based in Colorado. The film festival, as you'll hear, celebrates inclusive practices through the art of filmmaking. I'm excited to share this conversation with you all today. We talked back in June just as the 2022 film festival was wrapping up. We talk about the mission behind the festival, the types of films that have been shared over the years, and the future of this inclusive arts initiative. So, without further delay, let's get right to our interview. Hello, and welcome back to the Assembly Inclusion Podcast. So today I'm joined by Dr. Tara Mason. She's an assistant professor of inclusive education at Western Colorado University and also the co-founder of the Disability Film Festival. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
So first, can you explain just a little bit about the film festival and its mission for our listeners?
Our mission is to raise awareness of the triumphs within inclusion education. We believe there are issues related to social justice and lack of educational opportunity for students in special education, and we want to explore creative pedagogy that serves students with inclusive classroom environments using film as a launch pad for discussion and change in special education. And so that's our mission statement. And with that, I would like to add that we have films from all across the continuum of the human experience. So we don't have films that are just about the classroom, although that will be a portion of our films. We also have films about being out in the community. We have films about parents and their children. We have films, amazing kind of stories that people have to tell about being adults with people who have different abilities. So we just really have a very wide continuum of different types of films that are celebrating best practices of inclusion.
I love that. That was the mission that really drew me in to want to reach out, because I mean, that's kind of the whole point of Assembly Inclusion, was the celebration piece of inclusive practices and how can we be more inclusive and what are the successful things that are going on with inclusion. So I was like, I have to reach out and make sure that I talk to you about this. What was the inspiration for actually getting started with this festival?
I created this film festival with another co-director. His name is Jack Lucido, and he is a filmmaker. And so he's not on this call, and he has his own story that was his inspiration for starting the film festival. And so I will let him tell his story, but I will tell mine. And so my story is that I have been working in the field of special education for over 20 years in lots of different roles. I started in the field as a paraprofessional, and I've worked as a teacher, and I also have a background working with students with visual impairments. My specialty area is working with students with more intensive needs who have multiple disabilities and sensory disabilities. And I believe that there is so much strength in our diversity. I believe that we are so much greater because of our diversity. And what makes us different is what, you know, really makes the world a much richer, better place to be part of. The film festival taps into that emotional self, where I feel like participants can imagine what this world would look like of equal access. What would that world look like if we had equitable communities? And I think that the film festival tells stories that make it look really easy. And it is actually really easy. It's much easier to have inclusion and to have equity for everyone. And remember, equity is where everyone is getting what they need. And so that's an important kind of distinction for us to always be thinking about when it comes to special education, because we don't all need the same things, right? We all need different things. We're all very different people. And I think that the film festival kind of creates all of these great stories, tapping into that emotional self as participants watch, thinking to themselves, wow, that's the kind of world that I want to live in. Like, that was great. That's the kind of place that I want to be part of. That's what I would like to do. And I hope that it kind of sparks a little magic, a little joy for everyone, and kind of inspires them to make those small differences in their own lives that I think compounded will make a pretty dramatic impact.
I so appreciate the fact that you were able to define the equity, equality difference. Cause I think that's something that's always coming up with inclusion topics is people try to go toward it, like giving everyone the same thing, but it's like, no, no, we don't all need the exact same thing. We need what you need is, you know, and it can be different from person to person. So I appreciate that you were able to clarify that for our listeners as well. So you had talked a little bit before about some of the different types of films that have come up and how they're not just classrooms and they could be families and things like that. But what types of films are typically submitted? Is there a specific like length to them or anything like that? Do they follow a specific format?
We actually have three film types that are submitted to our festivals. So we have short shorts. It's kind of a fun name. Short shorts. Those are under 10 minutes. We have shorts, which are 11 to 30 minutes, and we have featurettes, which are under 60 minutes. We have both documentary films and also narrative films where the actors might be telling a story of best places of inclusion. We look for films that are authentic, along with actors and crews on the film that are people with different abilities. So one of our films this year called Climb is a documentary about an adaptive climbing team, and over 80% of the film crew were people with disabilities. I love seeing that. That's awesome. We had another film starring two young men. So this was a narrative film telling a story of a mom who had died and the grieving process of these two brothers. And the two brothers, one was neurotypical and one of the brothers has Down syndrome. And it was really awesome to see this grieving process, this mourning process from their both their different perspectives. They kind of had this typical kind of storyline where one of the brothers, you know, felt like he needed to take care of the other brother and he kind of needed to make decisions for him. But remember, in the world of special education, nothing about me without me. So I really love that that film tells that story so perfectly about nothing for me without me, right? So instead, they, at the end, not to ruin it, it's a really great film, but they tell the story of how they were able to come together and make decisions together.
That's such an important lesson to make sure that you're making decisions together as a collective unit or for yourself. So that's really beautiful that that came together.
One of my most favorite areas to teach in when I was working in K through 12 before coming to the university level and running a prep program, I was a transition teacher, which was one of my most favorite grade levels. And so that is working with students who are 18 plus until the year of their 21st birthday. And so students and that are eligible for special education services have services in schools until the year of their 21st birthday. And so a little bit of an extended K through 12 schooling. And that time period is called transition. And this would be such an amazing film to show families to try to explain these concepts of nothing for me without me. And also, how do we transition plan? How do we really think about all the different pieces of, and again, going back to that, that equity piece, we're all different. And we're all going to need different things. And a lot of what we would do when I used to work in transition at the Texas School for the Blind and Visually Impaired, we would do what's called person first planning, where we would just kind of come together as a community, almost like sitting together like in a restaurant, and say we were talking about me and we were thinking, what does Tara need? So Tara loves doing social stuff. And so on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'm actually going to swing by and pick her up to bring her to this XYZ event. And then, oh, Tara has her job on Mondays and Wednesdays. And I actually am going that exact same way. I'm going to bring her to her job and then mom is going to bring her home because, again, it takes a village. We can't all do it ourselves.
I was going to ask you about, you had spoken about two of those films. So do the filmmakers primarily come from a university level, or is it more of a global scale, or who tends to be submitting the films?
This is our third year. And so we started the film festival the year that the pandemic happened all over the world. And what a crazy time that was. And so at that time we had films probably from about 10 different countries. And I pulled our countries this year. And so we have 22 films from the United States. We have 6 films from the United Kingdom, 4 films from Canada, 3 films from Italy, 3 from France. We have films from Russia. We have films from Iran. We have films from Australia. Then we have Turkey, Sweden, Spain, Peru, Nepal, Kenya, Japan, Ireland.
Oh, wow.
So It's pretty amazing. And some of these films are associated with university prep programs. Sometimes that happens. Most of the time, I haven't seen a lot of teacher prep programs. We did have one film like that, that I'll highlight later if that one comes up. But a lot of times we have films that are from film programs. And so there'll be some students. And what's, I think, really inspiring is that people want to tell these really amazing stories. And that just is a spark right there. That's something really cool right there, that someone is going to spend an entire, I don't even know, years of their lives telling these amazing stories, and something inspired them to do so. It's not like it was an assignment that they were like, oh, I want to do this. Instead, they have this burning story that they want to tell, and they go to all this work to tell it. So we've heard that time and time again from filmmakers when we've interviewed them to learn a little bit about what their inspiration was for making the film. And we've heard stories like people who've had siblings, people who have had a family member where they wanted to tell a story. We've had great stories of people who are just amazing directors who were asked to create an amazing film about a great story. We've had lots of those kind of things. You know, I think that there's like a magic. There's a magic where people's lives are touched and they want to tell some really great stories. And then, of course, we have family members who are telling a story by a documentary, those kind of things. That kind of film is always part of the submission group. We have family members who are telling documentaries about a family member. That's always a group that's represented.
That's a lot of different countries. Just getting back to that. That's really amazing. So is there a judging process? You know, you submit, and then there's like a screening. So, or does everybody just kind of get to showcase their work?
It's a pretty authentic film festival. And so this year we had 59 entries and we only selected 8 films. So we have an advisory that helps us jury our films. It's really important that they fit our mission. And so, you know, one of the things about that is we'll have some great films that aren't a good fit for the mission. And so they're usually kind of taken out of the mix right away. They're kind of screened for that. And that's part of why we have our advisory. We have a rubric that we use to score our films. And one of the things that we look for right away is like, does it fit the mission? And so it's really important that it's telling a story of someone with different abilities and those best practices of inclusion. And that doesn't mean that it has to be happy. Those stories are not always happy stories. And we understand that. And that doesn't mean that it has to be a documentary, right? It can be a narrative. It can be a story. It can be a small space within a story that someone's telling. But again, it still has to be depicting someone that has different abilities. It's also really important to us that actors are not acting like someone with a disability. Instead, it is a person with a disability themselves acting in that role, whether it be narrative or documentary. Documentary would be obvious. It is about the people in the documentary. And then other things that we really look for, we look for good fit with our festival lineup. So that's also a big piece, just like an interview process. When you're interviewing for a position somewhere, you know, there's always going to be this underlying, like, will this person be a good fit for my team? A film festival is kind of the same. We want to curate a festival that has, you know, the theme is already stated as best practices of inclusion, but you want it to kind of flow together and make sense with one another.
That makes sense. You want them to fit together so it flows nicely from one to the other. So In past years, you talked about some that were coming up this year, the films that came out. What were some of the ones from past years that have stood out to you?
A couple films that I'll highlight from our past years. And so in our very first year, there was a film that we had called And We Were Roommates. And this topic was about two people who went to Syracuse University and the inclusive university called Inclusive U Residential Program. They discover their inclusive peer mentorship and friendship at the college level comes with a unique set of challenges, successes, and emotions. That same year, we had a film from Ireland called Upside, which was a narrative film. And it was based on a true story. So again, this was one of those where he was inspired by a story that he knew about something that had happened in his own life. And in that film, Stephen, which a young man with Down syndrome, wishes to break free from his caring but overprotective mother and celebrate his 18th birthday in a way that he chooses. And his brother ends up kind of coming and being part of his 18th birthday. And it just tells this really great story, again, about not doing for me, but instead with me, and always having someone be the central kind of captain of their life. In 2021, we had a film called Talk With Us. And this film was from Brazil. And it had 12 different subjects with different disabilities from all over Brazil talking about their communication. and the specific ways in which they connect with the world and with themselves. And so some people used augmentative alternative communication devices. Some people were using kind of like peer communication. So like some peer mediated communication. Some people had an adult who was also helping support their communication. It was a really fun film. And another film we had from last year was called Fraser Syndrome and Me. And that in that film, we had filmmaker Kylie Ann Grandis is only the 75th person to be born with a rare recessive gene disorder called Fraser Syndrome. And she having always felt really alone in the world, very lonely. You can imagine that movie, very lonely. She sets out on a journey to find her community and finally meets others just like her. And so Fraser syndrome can affect your vision. It can affect your hearing. It can also affect other organs in your body and just kind of cause like some chronic health problems. And it also has a pretty dramatic effect on the hands, which is one of those kind of tall tale signs where if you see some effect to the hands, you might think, oh, I wonder if this person has been affected by Fraser syndrome. And then, like I said, we have some amazing films. This year, we had a film also about communication using an alternative augmentative communication device called This Is Not About Me. And she had really been very misunderstood in her K-12 setting all the way up until she was 18, never really offered an augmentative communication device. And although that was really always the central issue that was going on. And she finally does get a communication device, finally is able to find like an effective way to communicate what's going on, her wants, her desires, her thinking, her ideas, her express herself. And then a lot of the other things that were happening, a lot of the behaviors that were happening and a lot of the frustration she was feeling, those all dissipated. She then becomes this amazing advocate to talk about how important it is for people who have different communication styles to get communication devices if that would be the best fit for them.
That's a wide variety in topics. Yeah. All, I mean, obviously I can see how they're all beneficial and just even just bringing awareness to some of those issues, but I love just the amount of variety in each of those films.
That's what's so great. I mean, it's like such an amazing project to get to be part of. It's incredible. Like to watch all these stories. I mean, you're crying, you're laughing, you're feeling all the feels, all the big feels.
Every single one you have mentioned so far, I'm like, I need to go watch them because they just all sound so incredible. Yeah. So this year you held in-person events, right? It wasn't just, I know you had started with the pandemic, so I'm assuming everything was probably virtual, but I think, was this the first year that you had anything in person for the festival?
So last year we had one in-person screening at Western Colorado University outside. We did an outside screening and it was great. This year we had one at Western. We had one in Crested Butte Art Center. These were both inside. We then also had a really big event in Lake City just yesterday for Father's Day. Oh, well, it happened to be on Father's Day, but it was a really cool opportunity to give some shout out to the dads. And that event was coupled with kind of a town barbecue and they had some other fun things going on with the event that was pretty widely participated in. And then we have another event this coming weekend and the city of Glenwood Springs has sponsored the film festival, like kind of like a road show, kind of Glenwood Springs, and they are sponsoring it. So everyone can go for free. And again, they'll have some food and just, it'll just be like another fun festive event and just inviting out the town to come and go to the festival.
Oh, that's really nice. So everybody can kind of come in and check out the films and do the filmmakers end up coming? I know they're coming from so far away. So, I mean, do they end up getting to come or is it more of just the people who are local?
We have yet to have filmmakers come here to the lovely Gunnison Valley. So we are a little hard to get to. So we are about 4 hours from Denver International Airport. Gunnison is in the mountains. So we are a rural mountain community. So people do have to go over a pretty hefty mountain pass to come here. With that, it's not super easy to fly here straight unless you're kind of mega millionaire and kind of jet on over in your private jet and go up to the mountains. So people get here easy. I mean, you know, people who know this area, they get here no problem. But for our filmmakers, we're still pretty small. And so we haven't been able to have that kind of funding to get someone here. So it's really been more of just local. We do a lot of outreach to teachers and we really want teachers to come. I was kind of like a little fairy running around to teacher boxes in Gunnison Watershed School District, handing out free tickets. We also have an organization that does a whole lot of adult work with people who have different abilities. They're called Six Points and they're a pretty awesome organization here. And so we invited them to come and to bring some clients. And then we also have a really amazing adaptive sports agency up in Crested Butte that does some really amazing adaptive sports up on the mountain. So adaptive skiing, adaptive snowboarding, you know, all sorts of other mountain alpine sports. And so we invited that whole crew to come and see the cool festival. And we hope to kind of continue to grow those partnerships.
I'm sure it is very difficult to get there, I'd have to imagine. But I think that's still great that people from the area and the community can come in and all come together to watch these films. That's still really great. Do you have any plans for future expansions? Is there anything in the works for something you want to try in the future?
Well, we're growing every year. So every year we have exponentially grown. We have more films, we have more countries, we have more interest, we have more partnerships. It's just, it's been really exciting to watch that growth. There's kind of that magic, right? People really gravitate towards the story. So we may change the timeline of when we accept films to have the film festival run at a different time of year. That's possible. That's something that we've talked about, you know, just to kind of see if we could capture kind of a wider audience. A lot of people who live here in Gunnison leave for the summer. Like they go and travel and do all sorts of things. People are just very busy here. And since it's rural, people do travel a lot. That's one of the things that we've talked about. Again, like just kind of widening our reach. We might also, in the coming years, build some other screenings where we have some screenings throughout the year, not just in the summertime. So I think timeline is something that we've talked a lot about, wanting to capture that wider audience, have more participation and growing those partnerships. We are very interested in taking the film festival on the road. And so kind of like Glenwood Springs did, we kind of struck up a deal with Glenwood Springs to bring the film festival to them. And we would love to do that in more places, not just Colorado, but really anywhere. We would love to, you know, bring the film festival to Denver. We'd love to bring the film festival to some other state. Each year we have, you know, the set of films that have been curated into this festival. And it's a pretty amazing activity that, you know, we would love to be able to host in a bigger city where we might have a whole bunch of participation and be able to tell these stories on a wider level.
And so based on your experiences the past couple of years with this program, how do you think that the film festival has really worked toward the mission of discussing, advocating for, and changing and influencing and celebrating special education and inclusive education overall?
Well, I feel like it's been a pretty tough couple of years. I feel like special ed has really had, you know, just a really rough time. It's a rough time in our K-12 schools, and it's especially rough, I think, for special educators. I mean, of course, that's my focus area. So I know that it's been tough for all educators, but since special educators, those are my people, I feel extremely sensitive to the kind of struggles that we've had. And this film festival is telling the story of why so many of us ever got into the field and why we love it. You know, we are fierce advocates. Special educators, they are fierce people. They love their students and they love their students' families. You know, they really care about their communities. They really care about finding ways to promote equity. And so I love celebrating special education teachers. I just think that we're awesome and, you know, just so great. And I want people to know more about what the job looks like. And you know, it's not all good. It's not, you know, I don't want to be naive to that. And that's also something that I've, you know, had lots of conversations this past couple of years with lots and lots of educators, where I am not naive to the kind of problems that we have out there in our schools. I'm not naive to the kind of challenges our special education teachers are feeling. They're very overworked. They are feeling really undervalued. I'm not naive to that at all. I am just a half full type of person. And I really feel like that is what lifts us. Like, I feel like that lifts our field up when we start thinking about, you know, our triumphs and start celebrating one another. And I feel like that can do a whole bunch of, you know, good things to help us feel better. Because I think collectively, there's a collective trauma going on right now, not to downplay the real trauma that people have been experiencing, people who have lost loved ones, people who have, you know, had way, way more trauma and way more hardship during this time. But I think as a society, we have a collective trauma. And I feel that we need some positive stories and we need to lift each other up to help us move to this next better place where hopefully it's more positive, happier. I think we need to be happier.
all that just like resonated so much with me because, I mean, that was my background. I was a special education teacher before I switched into educational technology. And so that's still my people. So I just really, I love the mission of just the celebration of it. Like you said, not everything is happy and positive, but it's great to be able to tell some of those stories and just really even just the awareness that's coming from watching these films.
I think it's incredibly validating to what people are doing. I think that there's a big piece to this puzzle, especially for special educators out there in our K-12 schools who are potentially very stressed out, being overworked. A lot of teachers I know are leaving our field and it makes me sad and upset. And I want to validate them. Like, I want to really celebrate them and validate them and be like, you know what? I see you. I see you and I see what you're doing. And I think that that's a huge part of what the festival can do. It's telling these amazing stories that I think that people have inside of them, spark some of that joy in them. And again, it's not because everything's just all super great and happy, happy, happy. It's more because we need to tell these positive stories because it's like a fabric that kind of keeps us together. It's something that connects us.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. I really just appreciate you telling us all about the film festival and your work with it and all the different types of films. I'm so grateful that you were able to be here with us today.
It was my pleasure, Katie. I really appreciate you being asked. It was an honor to be here. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Assembling Inclusion Podcast. I hope the information in this episode taught you something new, gave you a new idea, or showcased a new perspective. If you liked the episode, feel free to leave us a review or a comment. If you have a recommendation for an individual or an organization who would make a great guest, you can message us on Twitter or Instagram, or send us an email at assemblinginclusion@gmail.com. See you next time.